This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, Mawlana Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Okay, inshallah. Last week we spoke about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's when the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Saqifah Bani Sa'idah when the Ansar had gathered. And then I spoke about the virtues of the Ansar to understand who the Ansar were. So today, inshallah, we are going to be dealing with the Saqifah issue. And there has been many allegations against the Ansar that why did the Ansar gather choosing a Khalif when the Prophet ﷺ wasn't even buried? Did they want leadership? And then the same accusation is leveled at Abu Bakr and Umar and the Muhajirun radiallahu anhum that they were looking for power and Khalifat. That's why they left the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and went to the Saqifah, the hall, the Saqifah of the Bani Sa'idah, and they were discussing the issue of the Khalifat. Now, let's understand one asool first, one principle, and that is that a person may be fulfilling an obligation, which is a priority, doesn't mean that that person is not in the state of mourning. So there may be something very, very important which has come up, and you have to deal with that, although you may be going through another difficulty, calamity. In this case, the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, but the issue was that there were many, many possibilities and many, many difficulties and calamities which could have befell the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Now, let me give you an example. You had tribes who had newly embraced Islam around Medina, Abs, Dhibyan, etc. There was a possibility that one of them now could have seen the confusion, the instability in Medina and attacked because the Muslims did not have a leader. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also prepared an army to go to the outskirts of Medina. They stopped in a place called Jurf. Okay, and this army was led by Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu. Now, what was this army? This army was going to go and fight the Romans in Jordan. Now, with the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a possibility that the Romans and the Christians might have taken the opportunity to attack Medina. Then you had the issue of the Munafiqeen. The Munafiqeen may have found this an ideal opportunity to choose one of themselves and make him the Khalif. Then you had the Jews in Medina as well. And the Jews of Medina might have taken this opportunity as well. And they may have broken their treaty with the Muslims, seeing the Muslims in this vulnerable state. So this was an obligation. This was that the Muslims now choose an Amir because of the possible, you know, attacks which could have taken place. So this does not mean that if a group of people decide to take something or do something which is an obligation, that they do not regard that they are not taking serious, or they are not in the state of mourning. Is that clear? Now, let's look at all this from the angle of the Ansar. The Ansar. Now, firstly, Medina was the place of the Ansar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, and they chose the Messenger of Allah as their leader. Now, Medina composed of the Aus, the Khazraj, and some Jews. That was predominantly what Medina composed of. Now, compromised of. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now he comes to Medina. Yeah, and when he comes to Medina, the Ansar choose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the leader. Why? Because he is a messenger of Allah, and because he is the messenger of Allah, they make him the Amir. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passes away. Now Medina belongs to the Ansar. They lived there. So naturally the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away. So like any other society, what do? They revert back to their old system of election. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away. You show me any society who would make the migrants who have come to their place, those people that they have given refuge, and then make them the emirs. No, they made the Messenger of Allah emir because he was a Nabi. So naturally they thought, okay, the Messenger of Allah has passed away. We are the majority in Medina. So the emir comes from us. So is that understood? Okay. The other thing was, the Ansar were the people of Medina. They knew that they knew the culture the best. They knew the customs the best. They grew up in Medina. So it was really more befitting that they be the emirs. Now, we're trying to think what the Ansar were thinking at the time. Naturally, they were thinking, well, this is our city. We know the custom. We know the culture. We were born here. So therefore, rightly so, we should be the emirs. Also, they were the majority. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thinking from the Muhajirun's point of view, thinking from the Ansar's point of view, thinking about the Muhajirun. Now, the Muhajirun were a group of people who embraced Islam at the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Medina, for 13 years he gave da'wah. Not many people of the people of Makkah, his own people, actually embraced Islam. The Muhajirun. A number did, but there wasn't a huge amount of them. They actually repelled the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They refused to accept it. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would go in for Hajj, when the mushrikeen would do Hajj, and he would go and give them da'wah, what would they say? They would say, why are we going to take on this headache when your own people have not embraced your religion? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif, which was a close area. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the people of Taif, he gave them da'wah. They refused to accept the da'wah and they chased the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam outside, out of Taif. Then come the Hajj time, the mushrikeen would do Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave da'wah to those tribes. Many, many of the tribes of the part of the world would come for Hajj. He gave da'wah to every single one. He would go from 10 to 10 and say, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُوا. Say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ and you will be successful. Only really one group of people accepted the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah there. Although there were tribes from all over the area. Who were they? The people of Ansar. They were the ones who gave bayah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first bayah to Uqba, and then they gave the second, the next year on the time of Hajj, they gave the second bayah of Uqba. So these were the only group of people who really assisted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslims, whilst they were in Mecca, were weak. It only when they migrated to Medina that they became strong, and then you had the Medinan state. You see, all these things, now you can understand how the Muhajirun are looking at it. Also, a thought which would have come to the mind of the Ansar was that if we allow the Muhajirun, one of the Muhajirun to become the Amir, the Khalif, there's a strong possibility they were thinking that these people are going to go back anyway. Why? Because they were originally from Makkah, they grew up in Makkah. The only reason they were in Medina was because of the Hijrah, and then that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to stay in Medina. Now the Messenger of Allah is no longer in Medina. What is the need for them to stay in Medina? So it's a possibility they chose them. They would become the Khalif, then they would go back to Makkah. Why? Because the virtues of Makkah are greater. 100,000 salahs in Makkah. You grew up in Makkah, your family's Makkah. The consequences of that, one consequence of that would be that the center of Islam now was Medina. The focus from Medina would be shifted to Makkah. Now, firstly, this would have been unacceptable to the Ansar. They're the one who created the Islamic State from Medina. And you can understand that. But also, it would have left the Ansar vulnerable. Why? Because over the 10 years where they had sided with the Prophet ﷺ and now Islam became the dominant force, the Ansar made many enemies. So if the focal point was moved from Medina to Makkah and Makkah became the Muslim stronghold, this would leave the people of Medina isolated. If it left them isolated, it would have obviously made it easy for those who wanted vengeance from the people of the Ansar. And the Ansar were thinking about all of this. Look, the Prophet ﷺ gave dawah in Mecca, okay? And not many people accepted. He went to Medina. The people of Medina accepted, the vast majority of them. Now, Mecca had only been Muslim for 3 years from the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Medina had been Muslim from the time that the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina, 10 years. So they naturally felt that they had a greater right, that Medina, the stronghold, remained the stronghold, and because they were majority and because of the other reason, that the meal should be from them. The other issue was a really important issue, was that who is going to be the Amir? Who is going to be the Caliph? The reason being, the Ansar over the years had many battles with the people of Quraysh. The Ansar were always at the forefront of the battles. Now, if a leader from the Quraysh was chosen who was not sympathetic to the people of Ansar, now the Ansar had killed fathers, brothers of individuals from Quraysh who had now embraced Islam. Now, if you had a person who was not that sympathetic to the cause of the Ansar and was very biased towards the Quraysh, this could have resulted in further bloodshed of Ansar. It would have left them vulnerable. So therefore, they didn't know who the Amir was. Would the Caliph actually take into consideration the Ansar? Would he care for them like the Prophet ﷺ cared for them? And this is why all these reasons why the Ansar. So here we're looking at it from Ansar's point of view. And you can understand, when you look at this, why the Ansar thought that they were more rightful that the Caliph be chosen from them. Now, should the Ansar have told Abu Bakr and Umar and the Muhajirun? Yes, they should have. You know, that's an argument. Yes, you would say it would have been better that they had, because they would have resolved any tension. But why did they not? Now, one possibility is that because they, in their own minds, 100% believed that the Caliphate should be amongst them. And if they believe that for the reasons given above, well, then it's also understandable. They thought, you know, automatically the Caliph is going to be from us, so there's no need for us to tell them we're the majority, we're in Medina, we're the Darul Khalifat, etc., etc. The Darul Islam. Also, second reason, maybe they thought, well, if we do tell them, it's just going to cause issues. It may cause strife. Therefore, it's better we just get on with it. Just do it. You know, and then nobody else really needs to know, because we believe that we are the rightful, heirs of the Prophet ﷺ to the Caliphate. Thirdly, at this time, the Muhajirun were busy with the tadfeen and the takfeen of the Prophet ﷺ. And because they were busy with the tadfeen and the takfeen of the Prophet ﷺ, they really didn't think that there was any actually need to disturb this Muhajirun. So for these reasons, it's a strong possibility. That's why they thought, you know, there's no really need for us to tell the Muhajirun. Now, let's go back to the incident. What was the incident? The incident was that the Ansar gathered in the Saqifah Bani Sa'ida. The Muhajirun are at home. Abu Bakr and Umar, you know, they're with the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr has already, Muhajirun spoke to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they said about the Khalifat, you know, that a leader needs to be chosen. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had already said that we will speak to the Ansari brothers and we will come to some, you know, some result. Now what happens, whilst Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma are with the body of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they come to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and they say, Abu Bakr, they say, the Ansar are gathered in the Saqifah Bani Sa'idah and they are going to choose an Amir from them. So initially they understand that this is a very delicate situation. So what they do is that they hurry to the Saqifah Bani Sa'idah. Whilst they go to the Saqifah Bani Sa'idah, on the way they meet Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. And they say to Abu Ubaidah, you come with us as well. So Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu now goes with them and they reach the Saqifah Bani Sa'idah. When they reach the Saqifah Bani Sa'idah, they see the Ansar are gathered and in the middle is sitting Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, who's wrapped up in a cloth. Now Sa'd ibn Ubadah was the leader of the Khazraj tribe. You had the main two, Aws and Khazraj. He was the leader of the Khazraj tribe. Now Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu is now wrapped up in a cloth and Umar radiallahu anhu doesn't recognize him. And he said, who's that man wrapped up in a cloth? They say it's Sa'd and he's unwell. He's got a fever and he's in his pain, but he's come here. Now their intention was to choose Sa'd radiallahu anhu. Even choosing Sa'd could have been a problem. I'll tell you why. Because he was the leader of the Khazraj. It's a possibility later on the Aws would have objected, because for many years the Aws and the Khazraj were both at loggerheads. One of the reasons they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come is to unite them, and this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, and then many of them embraced Islam. Now what they said, so a spokesman stood up from amongst them and he gave a talk from the Ansar, and he said, O Muhajirun, we the Ansar are many and you are very few in number. We believe that it is our right, and do not deprive us of our right that the leader be from amongst us. And as I said earlier on, you can understand why they were saying this from their point of view. And then the spokesman, he turns to the people of Ansar and he says, O Ansar, you are people of great virtue, which no one else amongst the Arabs has the same virtue that you have. Meaning that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave dawah to the people of Makkah, only a few embraced Islam. Many of you embraced Islam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, and you, O the Ansar, were the ones who Allah chose to protect the deen. You were the ones who fought for the cause of this deen, and everybody in the Hijaz bowed down to the deen and lowered themselves in front of the deen. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he was happy with you because you were the coolness of his eyes. So you deserve the Khalifate. Now that was his speech. Now Abu Bakr, Umar, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu are listening to the speech. So Umar radiallahu anhu says, I was just about to reply. And he said, I had prepared a beautiful speech. So he says, I had prepared a beautiful speech. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu stopped me. He says, stop, just there. Don't say a word. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu starts. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, whatever you have said about yourself, there is no doubt about that. Everything that you have said, there is no doubt about that, that you have that virtue. And then he goes on, he starts mentioning other virtues. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding the Ansar, if the entirety of humanity walked down one valley, the Ansar walked down another, I would walk down the valley of the Ansar. And then he goes on, you know, to extol their virtues. He mentions many other virtues of the Ansar. Then he says, addresses Sa'd radiallahu anhu, and he says, "Oh Sa'd, you know that the people will never accept a person unless he is from the Quraysh. Why? Because see, certain tribes argued which tribe is better, which tribe was better, but they all agreed that the Quraysh were the best. So they were unanimous. Also, the Prophet ﷺ came from the Quraysh. Also, the Quraysh were the people who looked after the Kaaba. So taking all these things into consideration, it was autumn, you know, they were regarded as the best. So now he gives one logical dalil. He says, look, the people will not accept anybody besides a person from the Quraysh, because the Quraysh are regarded as the most superior tribe. Then he gives a dalil from the hadith. He says, "O Sa'd, also, you were there when the Prophet ﷺ said that leadership will always be in Quraysh." And then Sa'd said, "Yes, I remember that." And he said that you are the umara, you are the leaders, and we are the wuzara, we are the ministers of yours. So you see, from all this, now Umar, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he slowly convinces them. He gives them a logical dalil, and then he gives them a dalil from the Quran and Sunnah. Then one of them stands up and he says, Hubab ibn Mundir radiallahu anhu, and he says, "Okay, one Amir from us and one Amir from you. One from us, one from you." And the Muhajirun say, "No, that is not acceptable, because the people will not accept that." And it's very interesting why. Hubab ibn Mundir radiallahu anhu later would say, "The reason I said this was because we wanted a person from us just in case the leader from the people of Makkah does not protect the people of Ansar, and it leaves us vulnerable. Therefore, we wanted a leader from amongst us." He says that we had killed the father of the people of Quraysh, or a brother of the people of Quraysh, and if the leader did not look after us, then it was an easy option for them to take retribution from us. So Umar radiallahu anhu then stands up and he said, "Let me ask you people a question." He said, "Which one of you is mentioned in the Quran?" He said, "Abu Bakr is mentioned in the Quran." إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ. He said, "None of you are regarded, mentioned in the Quran." And then they said, "Yes, it is only Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu mentioned in the Quran." And then Umar said, "Then if that is the case, which one of you would like to supersede him? Which one would you like? Which one of you would like to be the Khalif when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is still alive?" And here was basically, then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu still refused to take the Khalifate. He actually grabbed the hand of Umar and he grabbed the hand of Abu Ubaidah and he said, "Give bayah to one of these two." Then he extolled the virtues of Umar. Umar, the Prophet ﷺ said this about him. Abu Ubaidah, the Prophet ﷺ said this, he's the mean of this Ummah. Yeah. Umar says, "Everything I wanted to say, Abu Bakr said that far more beautifully than I could have ever said it." He said, until he reached this point. He said, "If it was not a sin and I was made Amir over Abu Bakr," he said, "it would be easier for me to have my head removed from my body than to be the Amir when Abu Bakr is underneath me." And then what he did is that he extended his hand to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he said, "Abu Bakr, take the bayah." So then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you know, took the bayah, and then in some narrations it mentioned that Bashir bin Sa'ad from the And Sa'ar was the first one to give bayah to Abu Bakr Sadiq radiallahu anhu. There's no real contradiction, because it could have been that from the Muhajireen it was Umar, and from the Ansar it was Bashir bin Sa'd radiallahu anhum. And this was the private bayah which was given to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And inshallah we leave it there, and we will carry on inshallah next lesson. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of the Sahaba and the Ansar. Really, this is real tribute to Ansar. Why? Because having all this in their mind, they still in one gathering accepted. One gathering. It wasn't like, okay, give us 5 days, give us 10 days. In one gathering, the Ansar accepted what the three Muhajirun came and said to them. And this is testimony to their ikhlas, that they were ready to give up leadership when the Quran and the Sunnah was presented to them. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of the Ansar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in dunya, reunite us in Jannah. For those, barakallahu feekum, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Zakumullah khairan for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.